partaking of the bread and wine, through the words of exhortation. Brother John, please.
Dear brothers and sisters, trying to turn my video on for some reason, it won't turn on. Right, okay. Dear brothers and sisters, a brother once said to me that patience was the hardest lesson to learn. Now, although I agreed with him at the time, I didn't fully appreciate exactly what he meant. But in the passing of time, and given the current situation we find ourselves in, I've now come to understand just how true his words were. And although it can be a hard lesson to learn, patience clearly is something that we must master if we are to become properly prepared for a place in the coming kingdom of God. In about 4 or 5 weeks' time, brothers and sisters, we're going to be reading the letter to the Hebrews. And it's not only a book that I really enjoy, but I find it a very helpful book, mainly because it speaks of how much better the dispensation of Christ is over the law of Moses. Under Christ, it's better promises, a better covenant. Christ now has been made so much better than the angels, and God willing, we'll be like him. And it's for Christ, it's through his inheritance. And though he was of the same nature as us, yet it records that he destroyed death or the power of sin through a sinless life and a resurrection to eternal life. As I said, I get great encouragement, really, from the letter to the Hebrews. And particularly from reading the latter chapters of that book, because it's the consideration of the lives of many of God's faithful servants and prophets. We can see that the faith and works they displayed was born out of patience. It's because the experience gained throughout their lives, their trials, their joys, their tribulations develop their characters. And that's exactly what we are going through at the moment. We're all experiencing that at this particular time. The Apostle Paul says it's the working of all these things. If you turn to the book of Romans in the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul writes there in the first verse, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing, says Paul, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, or long-suffering, experience hope. And he says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Perhaps hope, brethren and sisters, is a key to our salvation. Hope is not some physical object that could be taken away, but it certainly is very real. And just to turn back, go back into Hebrews in the 6th chapter. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer says there at the 11th verse, he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I don't know about you, but after 7 weeks of lockdown, it's certainly getting very tedious. But I know we have to have faith and patience. Well, our hope, brethren and sisters, generates for us a picture in our minds, doesn't it? Because the writer went on to say in verse 13, he said, "For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." So as we said, our hope generates for us a picture in our mind, which grows as we grow in the truth, so that with the eye of faith, we can see the salvation of the Lord, just as all these faithful men and women recorded in Hebrews saw with the eye of faith the salvation of the Lord. Hope, brethren and sisters, can save us. Go back into the book of Romans and the 8th chapter. The Apostle Paul writes there in the 8th chapter and the 24th verse, he says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?" He's talking, isn't he, about the eye of faith. And he goes on to say, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we have the eye of faith, we shall see the salvation of the Lord." We shall be part of that salvation of the Lord. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks of those, brethren and sisters, who have faith and belief in him, even though they've not been eyewitnesses of him. We only read it perhaps a week or so ago in John's Gospel record and the 20th chapter. I think it's a situation we know very well. Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to a number of his apostles. But at the time, Thomas wasn't with them. And when the apostles told Thomas about it, he said to them, "Well, unless I see his hands, see the imprint of the nails in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I won't believe." And then we're told in verse 26 of that chapter 20 of John, "After 8 days, again, Jesus' disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." It's wonderful, brethren and sisters. The Lord here is talking about us, you and I. How encouraging is that? We haven't seen his hands. We haven't put our hand into his side. But through his word, we believe in him. We believe in him. We have been baptized into him. And we await his return. And we are certain that that return will be very soon. Well, today, brethren and sisters, is the beginning of a new week. Last week has already started to fade away. And with what's going on in the world at present, perhaps now more than ever is a time to reflect. But definitely not dwell upon. I shall say that again. Definitely not dwell upon. Just reflect. And then put behind us what has happened last week, or even last month, or even last year, because it's a matter of progressing in the time that lays ahead. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians in the third chapter, he says these words partway through verse 13. Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." So forget those things which happened last week, last month, last year. They're gone. They're never going to be repeated. We can't go back into time. We can only go forward. And so Paul says, forget those things which have gone behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In verse 20, Paul reminds us, he says, for our conversation, our citizenship, our way of life is in heaven, from whence we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue things, all things unto himself. He's going to change us in that day to be like unto him. It's Christ, brethren and sisters, that can bring about the fulfillment of our hope. He can make that vision of the kingdom a reality for us, so that our patient endurance is not in vain. Well, the opening of another week invites us to renewed effort, not to repeat faults and failings of the last week, but to accept the challenge to achieve better things in the future than we have accomplished in the past. This new week is giving us the freedom to try yet once again for the hope of better things to come. But it's a matter of patience and concentration, so that our Lord Jesus Christ, as Jude says, can present us faultless before our Heavenly Father. We must therefore make the best now of the opportunities that come our way. Brothers and sisters, this is our day of opportunity. We may not get another one. This is our day. So let us make sure that we make the best of those opportunities that come our way now, so that where we have fallen short in the past must not continue to influence our thoughts, our words, our deeds in the future. We must put failings firmly behind us and strive ever onwards for that hope of glory that will become a reality in the not too distant future. It's all thanks to our Saviour, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our God is one of love, of mercy, of long-suffering. He is full of grace and truth and compassion. That's the characteristics of our God. It's the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the characteristics that we should have. There are so many verses of comfort and consolation throughout the scriptures when we need to turn to them. Always remember, brethren and sisters, the words of the words of Moses when he said to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage." Well, here we are today to remember the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the aspects of sin and that perfect sacrifice, and how much we should appreciate the magnitude of the forgiveness of God and the completeness, brethren and sisters, of the removal of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. I know I keep repeating myself, but It's the magnitude of the forgiveness of God and the completeness. Our sins are completely removed through the Lord Jesus Christ. God said he's going to remove them as far as the east is from the west. Well, as we now take the emblems of bread and wine, just consider, pause and just consider the enormity of God's love and the love of Christ in the certainty, brethren and sisters, of the forgiveness, as we said, the complete removal of our sins. Can't we just echo the words of Lamentations? Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. The love of God, brethren and sisters, just passes all understanding. Yes, I know that things are difficult at this present time. But this is our day of opportunity. This is our day to look forward and not to look back. As we begin this new week, we must resolve to patiently endure the things that come upon us, that develop our characters, so that we can be presented faultless before the throne of his glory. Well, finally, brethren and sisters, just one last scripture. Just turn to the letter of James in the first chapter. As James writes there, in the second verse, he says, "My brethren," you and I, he's writing to you and I, "My brethren," he says, "count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Verse 12. "Blessed is the man," says James, "blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Well, as we share the emblems of Christ's sacrifice, as we share the bread and wine, brethren and sisters, let us show that love, not only to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ in obedient service, but let us show that love to one another in all the things, even at this restricted time, that what we can do for one another, to build each other up in our faith in the short time that remains before our Lord returns.
Thank you very much, Brother John, for the positivity, such a word, of your exhortation for us this morning. We're now going to partake of the bread and the wine, brethren and sisters. So I've asked our brother Martin Bullivant if he'd offer our thanks for the bread.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, with at the central focus of our meeting this morning, the emblems on the table, we would approach you in prayer to offer our praise and thanksgiving for all of your many blessings towards us. And we are thankful for your greatest gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus, and the hope that we share through the gospel message. Our Lord did no sin, he did nothing worthy of death, and yet he laid down his life on that dreadful cross at Calvary. And so, as we partake of the bread now, let us truly realize the price that has been paid for our redemption. And Father, we can see the events in the world are surely heralding your Son's return to the earth to set up your kingdom. We pray that in that day when we shall stand before him, we may be accounted worthy to be part of that kingdom, and so rule with him as kings and priests in that glorious age. This is all our hope and all our desire, Father, and we ask this prayer through the one we have come here to remember this morning, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we share wine in fellowship together, I've asked our brother David Fry to offer our thanks for the wine, please.
Gracious, almighty Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace, acknowledging before us this cup of blessing. For truly we have a moment. We have a moment now to stop, to stand still, and to have peace, and to reflect, and to consider this wine before us. For this wine that represents that blood that was poured out on that cross, that we might have a hope and have remission of our sins. For that body upon that cross embodied the perfection of patience, an example held high for each of us to follow. For truly, Father, as often as we drink this wine, we do it to show his death till he come. Father, bless this wine and hear our prayer, for we offer it through the one we await, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
My thanks again to Brother John for his words of exhortation and for the brethren who participated and helped out so far. We're going to close with a word of prayer through our brother Andrew Lower after we've heard him 376 sung for us. I think after that there will be a short voluntary, and then Brother Tim will give us the announcements.
Let us join together in prayer. Almighty Lord God, our loving and most gracious Heavenly Father, it is with thankful hearts that we approach before you now to thank you that we've been able to meet once again in fellowship, in peace and in safety, to remember your abounding love to us, your love in providing your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Saviour. And in these times of difficulty that we are enduring throughout the world, we have a wonderful hope. We can see that your angels are working in the kingdoms of men. They're working out your will and purpose so that things will be moulded within the nations to herald the return of your Son to this earth. And it is that time we pray for, Father, when there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in New Jerusalem. For indeed, Father, we pray for this time to come, because we know in this world and in this life there is suffering, there is loneliness, there is fear, there is sorrow, and there is pain. And we pray earnestly for that time to come when those things will be done away, and indeed when there will be no more death. Until that time comes, Father, we think of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, all those who are enduring times of difficulty, those who need your love, your comfort, and your protection. And we also think of our brother Brian at this time, with what he is having to endure. We pray that you will be a God of comfort unto him, and that you will give him a good measure of health, if it be your will. We have read, Father, in the Ecclesiastes, that we are to remember you, our Creator, in the days of our youth. And we pray, Father, that each and every day we will remember you whilst we have the ability and the capacity to do so, that we will reflect on the things that have happened in the past and we will learn lessons from them, and that we will strive to move forward in our lives, serving you in all things. And as we serve you, may we serve our brothers and sisters, for in all that we do unto them, we do unto you and unto your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that you will accept our thanks for all things, that you'll watch over us and keep us in your care. And if it be your will, we ask that you'll send your Son to this earth this very day, and in your grace and mercy, we may have a place in that wonderful kingdom. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our King. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Firstly, thanks to Brother John for his exhortation, and thank you very much to Brother Kevin for presiding this morning, filling in for us. The only welfare news I've got for you is regarding Brother Brian and the fact that he's still in hospital. He's undergoing some more tests tomorrow, and the comment from Sister Carol was that he's just very bored at the moment. Also, a big thanks yesterday to Sam and Esther for organising the study that we enjoyed with Brother David Burgess from Leamington. That was an excellent afternoon. Arrangements for the coming week are as follows. Brother David and Sister Hilary, I believe, I'll be corrected if this is wrong, are hosting this evening's general knowledge quiz at 8 o'clock. If you want to join that, send Sister Anne a message and she'll send you the link for that. Monday evening, we have at 8 o'clock the prayer evening that Brother Jeff is going to chair for us. I'm not sure if there's any outstanding spaces left for that, but if anybody feels able to, please get in touch with Brother Jeff. He'll let you know whether he's got any slots free for that. Wednesday evening, we have Brother Lawrence Davenport from, I think, rugby. His subject for the evening is Out of Egypt, I've Called My Son, taken from Matthew chapter 2 and Hosea 11. Brother Dave Honey is presiding on that occasion. Next Sunday, we hope to have the company of Brother Robin Baston, and it's my turn to preside. The only other point of notice is the test for Zoom that we'll be conducting this afternoon between 5 and 6. If you've got any questions or concerns, get in touch with Brother Dan, Brother Martin, or myself this afternoon if you need help to connect to that, and we'll see as many of you as can. If you can connect, great. If you can't, give us a shout and we'll try and get you on as best we can. So those are all the arrangements that I've got at the moment, subject to the will and blessing of our Heavenly Father. Thanks very much.